Hello, Nicole. How are you today? This is the DJ CJSF, and we are on Burnaby Mountain. Today, we have our guest Nicole, and our show is about negotiation, AI, and entrepreneurship. But I'm just catching up with the old friend. And today, let's listen to some music first. So, let's get it started. Hello, welcome back to CJSF. This is Charlotte, and our show is about negotiation and AI and entrepreneurship. Today we have our guest, Nicole. Nicole is my new friend, and I already feel we are old friends already because we chat a lot and she shared about her entrepreneurship experience. She also invited me to an entrepreneur gathering Christmas party. So I'm very excited, and this made me really have to have this talk with her to elaborate or unfold a lot of experiences and lessons we have. All right, Nicole, welcome here.
Nice to be here, Charlotte. Thank you so much for having me. I should move closer. Thank you so much for having me on, Charlotte.
Yes, please.
Awesome. So, what do you want to talk about today?
Well, I'm thinking I really wanted you to share about your experience because I heard that you said you have done all different kinds of jobs in arts and business, and now you also work in, I think, theaters and this media station. So yeah, let's talk about it.
Yeah, so I have worked in a lot of different roles in the art space. I spent a lot of time in Calgary, Alberta, and so that was about 13 years of my life where I worked for like a music museum called the National Music Center. I worked for magazines. One was called Avenue Calgary, so it was like a lifestyle magazine, and I also worked for WestJet magazine as well. And then I worked in stock photography, so that was kind of fun. I sold the rights to use a photo for like a billboard or a campaign or even a book. And then I got into starting a business when I lived in that city. And the first business I ever ran was a food business. It was called Wings and Tings, and that was the first time that I started a business while I was juggling working jobs at the same time.
Wow, that's already a lot. Like, I've already lost my memory, so I want to really go through them one by one.
Of course.
Yes. So let's get started with what was your first job and how did you choose that job? Were you, you know, you were probably really young, and when we were young, we either get really confused or we feel we don't have many choices. So yes, we probably start with what we could. So how did you get started with that?
Yeah, so for me, it was like, what was I interested in? And
right,
I was really, really interested in magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first kind of job that I worked that was in the art space that was a lot of fun. I did a job called, they called it fact checking. And what that is that I was given an article and I had to reach out to the people that were in the article just to ask some questions to make sure that everything was accurate.
Mm.
So they weren't printing something that was like not true and stuff like that.
Is it like proofreading?
It was kind of like double checking things.
Oh,
right. So, and it happens because sometimes things get lost in translation.
Right.
So even how we're talking together right now, I could go and write an article about our experience and I could make an error.
Right.
I could have wrote something down wrong. I could have misunderstood what you said. So a fact checker goes back to the person that was interviewed to ask questions to double check that everything is accurate.
Right.
Before it goes to print.
Right. That sounds a really good job to prepare you, I would say, build some work ethics.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It was great with the work ethic. It was great because it, you know, it gave me like energy and I was energized because I was in doing something in an industry that I loved.
Right.
Back in the day, there was like print magazines was a really big thing,
mm-hmm.
right? Now we do have a lot of the way we consume media is digital in many aspects, but magazines was, you know, that print form.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, just like I love reading books because I love touching the papers, it's the same that I felt for magazines, right? So for me, it was like I was, first off, just excited to get into the space, and then just happy that I was doing something that helped to produce really great articles and pieces and stuff like that. So
What's the next job after that?
After that, I in the art space, I worked for, it was first called Cantos Music Foundation, and that is a keyboard museum. So electronic keyboards, upright pianos, it was like a collection of various pieces that they had collected from all over. They even had a really popular pieces. There was a piano that was owned by Elton John that they had in their collection. So there was a lot of pieces that could be played,
mm-hmm.
and then there was like some pieces that you just would view, you would just look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to play piano when I was younger, way, way back when, and so the thing that got me really interested with this organization was that for every hour that you worked with them, you got the chance to have studio time to play the piano.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I was able to book studio time and practice while I was like working with them. So that organization turned into what's now called the National Music Center, and that's a music museum. So not only do they have the keyboard collection, but they have other artifacts that pertain to music.
Oh, are they in Calgary?
Yeah, they're in Calgary as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That sounds really nice because that sounds like a first step for you to step into the art industry.
Absolutely.
Was that?
Absolutely. And it was, I worked a lot of events when I was there, so it allowed me to see a lot of the talent in the city. So there's a lot of artists that live in the city. I mean, it is, at least at the time, it was an affordable city, so you had a lot of musicians that lived there. And then you got to really connect with the community.
Okay. Yeah, the community really matters. Now I started to do entrepreneurship. I realized that the networking isn't a joke.
Huge. It's
huge.
It's huge. And it's not that easy to find opportunities to do that. I mean, one of the ways is like if there's an association,
right,
of whatever you're interested in. So like, let's say you're a journalist, sometimes there are like association of journalists that you can get a membership to, and then they tend to have a bunch of events, but other times I feel like you have to search out for the events on your own.
You're right. Actually, when I moved to a new city, I feel I've always been moving to a new city, which was challenging. But one thing that I learned is to search for the meetups or the event in your industry.
Yes.
And then from there, I have my goal. Let's say I wanted to know what the specific direction I want to go. And then I join the big industry event or meetups, and then I met people, and then over the time I gradually find my niche by understanding what other people's doing. Could you talk a little more about how can we maximizing the benefits of networks, because it's not everybody is aligned with what we are doing,
right?
So sometimes the process of choosing the right people to get together is really challenging.
It can be really challenging. So one of the things that I've learned over the years is, number one, know your business.
Right.
And know it so that you can share what you do in like a really short time. So when they say things like have a 30-second elevator pitch, or, you know, less than a minute elevator pitch, it is, I do encourage that, so that anytime you're in a space and you feel like there's that opportunity to share what you do, you can do it really effectively, right? If you practice that. So that is like one of my main things. And then if I can't find a networking opportunity that aligns exactly with what I do, then I try to I use Meetup as well. I think that's a really great platform to connect with people. And then other things that I might do is, like, I'll go to events that I'm interested in and then ensure that I have that my pitch really easy kind of thing, so that when I meet people socially, I can easily share what I do. Because a lot of times when you meet somebody new, one of the first things they ask you is, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So no matter if it's like a typical networking opportunity or it's just a social gathering, in many cases, that's what a lot of people ask. So I encourage entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, creatives to, like, be able to share what they do, like, pretty quickly, and that's by practicing.
Exactly. I think I've been always struggling with how much should I talk.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, some of us or a lot of us, I would say most of us in some different stages have different status. Like sometimes in the beginning, I don't know what to say. I feel like I haven't figured it out yet, but I cannot tell people directly that.
Right.
Or I feel like, oh my God, I'm so passionate about a lot of things, or now I'm studying something deeply, so I want to talk. And then I'm really in the zone, and then I become dominating the conversation.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
Also not good. So yeah, could you share a little bit about that?
So what that's the whole thing about that 30-second pitch, is that you're able to say something and kind of share exactly what you do in a really short amount of time, and then wait for the other person to respond. Right? I didn't always have a 30 second. Sometimes at the beginning, I was like, somebody would ask me what I do, and I would just start talking and then start talking.
Yeah.
and then it almost becomes uncomfortable for the other person.
Right.
So I practice shortening what I do, right?
Okay.
To like a short, like, you know, 30 second, 40 second thing. And most people can listen for 30 seconds comfortably.
What are the techniques to practice ourselves shortening the content?
Yeah. So for me, like, and I think number one, it's really good to know how do you learn?
Right.
Like, so for me, one of the ways that helps me learn is writing things down.
Okay.
So that to me is like the easy thing. Other people, I think sometimes they can process just by speaking it, and the words just come beautifully. It doesn't always come like that beautifully. I have to write it down. So I'll write it down and I'll read it out.
Yeah.
And then I will see, like, does it sound natural? Because sometimes when you write something, it sounds good on paper. But then when you speak it, it doesn't sound casual. It doesn't sound natural, right?
Okay.
So I will practice. I'll write it out. I will see, does it sound good? And then I'll start to edit it that way.
Okay.
But that's how that works for me. I know other people who, they use a lot of people have, like, they use, like, a recording app type of thing. And so they will do voice notes.
Yeah.
And that's how they process the thing. So they will, like, they'll just talk, and then they'll listen to it, and they'll be like, oh, that's too long, and then they'll do it again, and you know what I mean? And then that's how
I think that's what I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I do feel the process that you share is really helpful, because writing it down really helps us to clarify the logics and the content, or help us to really understand the thoughts that are in our minds.
Yes.
And secondly, we repeat it by practicing. Because
exactly.
For me, I really feel I do, like, I improve or realize the problems by practicing it, doing it again and again.
Absolutely. Same.
Yeah, exactly. So, and the third step is really to go there and say it.
Exactly.
Because we cannot just practice at home. It feels completely different when we actually go doing is speak in public or talk to other people or talk in front of the camera. I think that kind of heart beating feeling is so real, right?
It is so real. And this is another thing that has helped me is I will go into spaces, especially, you know, if it's a new space that I've never been in, and I will listen to people talk first.
Okay.
Before I jump in to introduce myself. So I might join a group of people that are already speaking and just like quietly just kind of like stand around and just kind of listen to how they are conversing with each other.
Right.
And if there's an opportunity for me to jump in, I do. And sometimes it's just the opportunity for me to listen to kind of get my guts to speak to the next group of people.
Exactly. So do you prefer one-on-one conversation or do you prefer like a small group of people?
It depends sometimes. I'll be honest, it depends on the day, my mood. Some days I feel more social.
Right.
And a group setting is great because I'm in that energy. Some days I don't want to talk to people much.
Yeah.
So one-on-one is way more like ideal for me.
Wow, that's really helpful and that's valuable advice. Let's listen to two musics.
Yes.
And listen to two songs, and after that we'll come back with more networking advice and we'll go deeper with Nicole's entrepreneurial experience and see how can we use that and borrow that experience and lessons to our career development. Yeah, thank you. Oh my God.
We can only go up from here. Don't look now, what's in the rear view mirror? Don't look back, don't reprise. Don't let your dust get in your eyes. I know we can only go up from here. Nobody told you, nobody tried. They could have warned you about the devil on your mama's side. You bit the apple from the family tree, and now you're a shadow of the person that you used to be. We can only go up. Your dust get in your eyes. I know we can only go up from here. Sooner or later, it was bound to be. Was it the way you played your hand, or was it destiny? And I'll hold your hand through all the darkness till your sun comes out.